Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The NBR Draft Pod, presented by Breckenridge Brewery. This here hat, courtesy of Breckenridge Brewery, 35 years. They've been with us, been a partner for a little less than that, but they are true to us. Check out the beer locator to find a Breck brew near you. Fellas, we're doing it. It's officially draft season.
We're here. Post-combine.
It's so here. Now we've got most of the data points we need. The hot takes have been released. It's up to us now.
Mm-hmm. I'm stoked, man. This is, you know, it's. I feel like there's that kind of awkward period post-national championship, pre-combine, mm-hmm. where, mm-hmm. you know what you saw on in terms of the season and all that, but it's just nice to start getting some of the answers to the questions we had. And, you know, a lot of these guys that we were pretty high on going into the combine obviously had a pretty good turnout. So I'm excited to dive into it all.
Yeah. I don't know, man. We see this more and more every year. Like, and it was a great example of seeing Tom Brady outrun his 40 in his 40s mm-hmm. than what he did coming out of Michigan.
Yeah.
For some of this is like we've just cheated the system. These guys are too good. They're full-blown professional athletes now.
Yep.
And it's just more and more insane, the kind of testing that comes out of this.
Yeah, it's more like an Olympics event at this point.
100%. I mean, just some incredible athletes on display at mm-hmm. Indy. Let's get into some of our biggest storylines coming out of that. Where do you guys want to start here, fellas?
Was it worrisome to you guys at all that none of the top quarterbacks threw? Does it matter?
I really don't think it matters anymore. I think you want to go in a controlled setting. I think you want to just make the show all about you at the pro day. You know, whether it's Johnny Manziel wearing a full helmet and gear or Josh Allen just launching moon balls in a small little gym in Wyoming. That's where you're going to get your real. But then again, a guy like Penix looks so good. How much does that help?
Well, I was going to say, I'll actually go the other way. And I think it's a little helpful to just see all those quarterbacks in quick succession just throw right after one another. You can really compare them at that point. I know it's in underwear and jumpsuits, but it's still the most direct way you'll ever have of being able to compare them.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like being at a summer practice, you know, being a... Mm-hmm. A quarterback coach just kind of watching the drill behind your two quarterbacks. Yeah. It's that same kind of view and feel you'd get. Mm-hmm. Do you mind?
I mean, I think there's something to be said about these guys having to do it when the pressure's on, because I just think there is an element of that with the quarterback position. But no, I mean, I don't think it's a huge deal or anything like that. But I think it makes it a little anticlimactic in terms of a viewing process. Like, I don't think the combine had the same juice this year that it did certain years past.
It didn't, and I'll agree with that. It's really more and more just a data gathering, data point thing. You get your data points, you move on. It just enriches your evaluation and your overall ability to put this player's potential and ability into context. So much of it comes back to the constant conversation we're having about margins, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So on that... To me, the biggest storyline coming out of the combine is this is a 3-franchise left tackle class
mm-hmm.
because Troy Fotanu, the Washington left tackle, who most of the year has been projected to be the top interior offensive lineman, they were the number one rated O-line in the country, right? They won the award.
Yeah, Joe Moore Award. Yep.
And he was by far their star player. The big question was, what's his length? 34-inch arms. We did it. That's the big one. Yeah.
Check
it off. Sub 6'4", just barely, like 6'3 and 3/8". I don't know. But I think this guy, with the absurd athleticism he demonstrated, with the incredible season he had, with adequate length. And then the drills he did, he looks insane. He moves like a linebacker. I think it's officially a three franchise left tackle class. We've talked about how loaded this class is at right tackle. The left tackle prowess is huge, though.
It's a welcome refresher from the last few years where it's like, you know, maybe you do have three guys, but you're holding your breath on the third, whether they can do something or, you know, convert a position, whatever it is. So it's nice. It's great for the league, honestly, because we need these guys. Lots of teams need these guys. Broncos, I mean, we could talk left tackle for the Broncos, too, if we wanted to, you know, so. It's huge for them. And, you know, when you get into the conversation about what the Broncos do in the first round this year and the long-term projection of building this team, rebuilding this team, really.
Because that's what we're doing, right? Justin Simmons today is, like, officially taking a few steps back to build this from the ground up the right way.
Yeah. And Bowles is, I mean, there's going to be a decision there. He's an older player, has been ever since he's been in the NFL. Well, he
will be.
Yeah, he's old now. But still, like, it's nice to see that the Broncos just, it's a great draft. It really is a really good draft, but the Broncos are going to have options to go whatever way they want to in the first round.
I think it's an encouraging draft for a team that has a lot of roster holes in some of these key positions. If I had to set the over-under for offensive tackles to go in the top 20.
Oh my gosh.
5.5? 4.5? Is that too high for top 20? I mean, first round, that'd be a lock, but
4.5, I'm hammering.
I think 5.5 is a question. 5.5,
I like the over. Now, that's top 20. Round one, we're hammering 5. Oh,
round,
and
yes. Yeah, it might be like 8 tackles round one.
JPJ's going. Graham Barton's going. I mean, the Houston left tackle, the BYU left tackle jumped off the page. JC Latham's size is insane.
Where are we at with Jordan Morgan now?
Right, he tests really well. The Oregon State kid, he's
Fuaga
getting a ton of love.
Yeah, Talisi and Fuaga are like Talisi Fuaga. That's a guy I like a lot, and I feel like he'd kind of flown under the radar. He was kind of like, yeah, you know, he's a run blocker. You know, I like him.
Yeah.
And then you just see like how he moves at the combine. I will say, while it didn't have the juice in terms of the quarterbacks, like it was a spectacle watching some of these big guys move.
100%. And again, I mean, gosh, I feel like it's years of us crapping on the O-line and the development of the O-line and where's it at. Then you have a class like this where it's like, man, do I like what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about Fatanu is I do wonder, are we transitioning football-wise from just the biggest, most athletic, longest traffic cone possible for me to execute a five-step drop? Just find me someone who's hard to get around.
Right.
I'm willing to compromise with a better athlete, someone who can initiate the contact, who has that lower body athleticism to match and mirror, and can disrupt that defensive rhythm better that way, you know? Because we are more used to, now you got, it's not just a 3-5 step drop. Your quarterback's scrambling around and you need that mobility and ability to adjust. And maybe a little more agile, you know?
Well, it's all part of the, like, Shanahan coaching tree revolution with trying to get outside.
Yep. You put this guy in a zone blocking scheme.
Right.
Like, watch out.
Yeah.
So, I feel great about that. And from the Broncos' perspective, I don't think it just means, hey, now we approve if Fatanu dropped at 12 to take him and make him your franchise left tackle. Oh, Fashanu could drop to 12 now, right?
Easily.
Mm-hmm.
Stock's slowing down. Just Joe Alt, not implausible, right?
No.
And even if those three guys go, then you feel good about the other O-linemen who could drop. Or maybe that means a wide receiver drops, right?
Well, and it's where it gets really interesting from Denver's perspective, obviously, is like, and that it's going to be the great debate of the offseason. People in the comment section are like, well, is this class that encouraging if you have to take a quarterback at 12? I mean, you're not guaranteed to take a quarterback at 12, given the cap situation. You could rock with Stidham for a year, just try and stockpile talent everywhere else. I don't think this Simmons move is going to be the last. Maybe you dump, somebody else and you add some more draft capital. I guess all I'm saying, and we got kind of derailed here, I just wanted to acknowledge this comment here from Ashton, is I think there's still quite a few moves to be made when it comes to the Broncos.
Definitely.
And I think trading up is on the table. I think moving back is on the table in the right circumstance.
Moving back has to be a big priority.
It should be like outside of if there's a quarterback you're absolutely in love with.
Yeah.
You're not in a position where it makes sense to get rid of more capital. You don't, mm-hmm. as everybody is well aware, it's been a fire sale these last couple mm-hmm. years and now the cabinets are bare. So you gotta rebuild this thing all the way through.
Well, and the bigger thing for quarterback is, do you want a rookie quarterback with this roster?
Oh, see,
and
here's
with being in cap hell for a couple years.
It feels like a waste of what's supposed to be a great situation.
Right.
That's the benefit of having a rookie quarterback is you get cap relief from it.
Yep.
But when you're already kind of dealing with so many restrictions, so much dead money, so many aging players, it's like,
it's been my ultimate dilemma this entire offseason. It's what I keep coming back to because I do think at some point they have to draft a quarterback. Like you can't,
of course,
no doubt.
Just clearly as a franchise, that is a bugaboo. They've got to get figured out. They've never been able to do it well. Mm-hmm. You got to figure it out. I don't know if this is the year.
Oh, it's
load up in other areas if that's the, I mean, right?
Definitely. But also I think the part with this class that you have to look at is it's just a very strong quarterback class. And you look forward to next year's and, you know,
is it as strong? What is, you know,
right? Like there might be a top end guy in Shador, Ewers, or Beck, depending on what happens there, but that's kind of it. Like you're really hoping for guys to really come out of the woodwork to get to even close to this top end depth that we have this year.
Well, it's why we talked about JJ McCarthy before he declared. That's kind of the swing vote, right? Where JJ goes, you're either going to feel really good about 24 and 25, or that's really going to slant things towards 24. Mm-hmm. That is kind of what's happened along these lines of how you rebuild the Broncos. Brock Bowers, smaller, as expected. We'll see the testing in full come come the pro day or what have you, because he didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
12, though, feels very likely with how some of these top wide receivers, offensive tackles, how good these quarterbacks look, and even edge rushers. Bowers at 12, a tight end, an undersized tight end for all that this team needs. And we love Brock Bowers.
Mm-hmm.
He's lost, one college game in his career?
Yeah.
Two natties? Not bad.
One regular season game, but one non-national championship game.
Yeah.
I think it's the same dilemma of like, I like the value of Bowers at 12 because I do think he's a generational type tight end. Does it actually make Denver any better in the next 3 years? I kind of doubt it. Who's throwing him the ball?
But here's the thing though, man, is like this roster is just so subpar compared to many playoffs.
Just add talent.
Exactly. Just stockpile talent.
But if that's the case,
there's never been more of a year to just take best player available. Who cares about needs? This whole thing needs to be rebuilt.
Yeah.
It's a fair point.
But you're right. It seems so rough to like, we're so starved for premium assets. The one premium asset you have, you use it on a tight end.
It kind of feels like what the Falcons have done the last couple of years, where it's like, I understand what you were doing talent wise, but you are no closer to competitiveness than you were, you know, before the draft. And
great point.
Sean Payton's history, I think it's more likely they try and, you know, rebuild the offensive line and basically go inside out before you worry about some of the skill position stuff.
That's the thing too. And that's why, at least for me, I know a lot of people are kind of iffy right now on Sean Payton and like the future of the franchise, but that's why I'm still so high on Sean Payton, is I know he's going to invest in the trenches, particularly the offensive line. Even if the decision is to kind of kick the can down the road another year and we'll do the quarterback thing next offseason, like he's going to try and improve this offensive line no matter what.
Yep.
That's just what he does.
Inside out. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it. Gosh, from the moment we were even sniffing around Sean Payton.
Yep.
How loaded is this wide receiver group?
Electric.
It's probably as deep as that group we talked about a couple years ago.
2020?
Yeah.
Since the three of us started doing the draft pod, right? And Jay came aboard. It's been the best position group of every draft we've talked about on this podcast.
Yeah.
I think this is the fourth class we've done together.
Yep.
With us three, yeah.
Every year we go,
no
these receivers.
No end in sight. Yeah. This is the best of them yet, right? You said they compare to what? What was that class?
2020?
That was the one where you had like CeeDee Lamb and Judy and Ruggs.
Judy,
and
Ruggs.
And Jefferson. Justin Jefferson. And then there were a couple of duds too.
Was Cooper Kupp in that one?
No.
Well,
no.
Mean,
no.
Rock's not exactly.
But there were some good. There were some good mid-round picks too, from receivers, and that it was just an insane class. I mean,
Adonai Mitchell, massive wide receiver from Texas, a guy. Months ago, we were talking about we might like him better than Xavier Worthy,
and he played in the biggest games. He like you couldn't keep your eyes off him. He's just making plays left and right.
And at his size, his numbers are bonkers. Brian Thomas, LSU. What the fuck did we just
He went
witness?
Super under the radar this year.
Yeah. He's crazy. I mean, and he's getting top 20 love right now. Xavier Worthy, you know, he was supposed to show up. Well, he breaks the 40 record. I mean, blazing speed.
It's crazy. Speed.
I will say, I don't, like, to anybody that watched Xavier Worthy, that wasn't surprising. That is his game. It's just burning you.
He
you
had
know?
To
like,
do that. Yeah.
We know he's fast in a straight line.
Also, by the way, some of the ugliest drops of any wide receiver on tape. So that's the evaluation you need to do there. Johnny Wilson, massive wide receiver for FSU. Runs like a 4.5 flat. I mean, just on down the list, Romo Dunze with crazy numbers. I mean, Keanu Coleman's the only guy who didn't impress.
But then there's that tweet that I sent you guys, the Next Gen Stats. He ran the, what was his number in the 40 again? Do you have it off the top of your head? Like 4.6 something?
It was 4.6 something.
It was 4.6. It might have been the slowest 40 of any wide receiver. It's like a 4.61, which again goes to show you how good these guys are. Because 10 years ago, 4.61 was more middle of the road than it was like dead last.
Yeah.
Well, I always come back to like that's probably like what Jerry Rice would have ran.
It's no a 4.6, 4.7. I think he ran a low 4.6 or a high 4.7.
Yeah. So
4.61 is what he ran, but then in the gauntlet drill, he charts the fastest in drill time of any wide receiver.
23 miles per hour, something like that.
I don't think it was 23. Okay. I think he topped near 21, 20 and a half or
but
something
like that.
But
that's blazing. Like that's some of the fastest times you would have recorded in an NFL game. Per Next Gen Stats last year.
And we've talked about this in the office after it happened that day, but it's like 4.5 speed isn't slow.
No.
And guys who are 4.5.
4.9 speed's not slow.
No, for sure. But guys in the NFL who are 4.5, if they have an open field, they score. It's just exactly that's how it works.
It's exactly right. So I know the chat's a little bit down on how do the Broncos fix this. Well, I tell you, part of it is you draft a wide receiver and you don't force the pick. You wait for those guys to drop to you.
Well, and I think,
because that's what this class affords you to do.
The key distinction between what the Broncos are doing right now versus what they have done the last couple of years, including even last year with Sean Payton, with this move, with letting Russ go, eating this money, getting rid of Justin Simmons, has been, you know, your most consistent player, probably the face of the franchise post Peyton Manning. You are finally accepting we're doing a full rebuild. That's never been the case. You know, you see people in the comment section, well, they spent big money on free agent offensive linemen because they were trying to plug and play now. They weren't trying to build for the future. It was all about, we're going to be competitive now. We're going to make a push for the playoffs now. We only needed a quarterback. We had everything else. Now we got the quarterback. As we found out, they didn't have the quarterback. And because of that, they're finally, for the first time in 9 years, going to do it the right way, at least in theory.
Look at the Philadelphia Eagles. They lose Jason Peters. They just lost Jason Kelce, and they draft these guys years in advance to replace.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, that doesn't happen here. Yep. Like that's the blueprint to not only just being a great football team, but just maintaining dominance on the offensive line is continuing to build always. Like you can't take a year off from that shit, man.
Shoot, the Chiefs have hit on more seventh rounders the last couple of years than the Broncos have hit in their third rounders. Like it's
100%.
It's going to be a completely different mentality, and obviously they're in a tough spot because of those decisions. Because you traded away all this draft capital, you're not sitting here with a million picks, which would be great if you had all this cap flexibility and a bunch of picks. But that's what I'm saying. Or going back to earlier, the last move is not even close to have been made at this point. I'm just excited that it's finally going in this right direction, and that it's an acceptance of the only way out is to burn it down, man. You got to let this forest fire go so it can grow anew.
100%. So I think those were the big themes coming out the combine. We're going to get into individual players because there's so many guys that pop, so many guys in that range. So can't wait to do that. So many Breckenridge brews for you. It is the official craft beer of the MVR. Bless you, Jake. You know we love our Breck Brew at the MVR. Go to breckbrew.com, find for their beer locator, find a Breck Brew near you, try out some of our favorites, Avalanche Amber Ale, of course, Mile High City, which low-key doesn't get enough love. Fun Slinger's good. Broncos Country Pale Ale right there. Good company, hard seltzers. They've got all sorts of stuff. I know Alyssa was just at the farmhouse scouting out maybe some fun stuff to do.
Let's go.
From the farmhouse Let's there. Go. So it's always great to work with Breckenridge Brewery. It's always great to sit down after a long day and enjoy a Breck Brew. Check out the beer locator at breckbrew.com to find a brew near you. And then Fubo TV. Fubo TV, the way to watch live sports in the, what's that called? The little
common area.
Common area. People are watching Pac-12 Network, which you can get on Fubo to watch the Buffs in the Pac-12 tournament.
CBS Sports Network. You can watch the Combine with the NFL Network. I mean, Altitude last night, unfortunately, it was a TNT game, but because of the blackout stuff, like with Comcast, it's blacked out on TNT. But if you have Fubo, you can watch Altitude. You don't even have to worry about that. Yep. So it's the best way to watch all sports, really, but especially Colorado sports at the best price point. You don't have to sign up with a contract, no cable, anything like that. You just, boom, you sign up, you start watching right then and there. You get DVR included. There really is nothing better. Watch all of your favorite NBA action with Fubo. Go to www.fubotv.com/DNVR. Sign up for 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro.
Okay, we've got some fun ones here. Thinking of the combine, who would you now consider a 12 that you might have been on the fence about before? Let's start with Dallas Turner, the edge rusher out of Alabama. A guy who you see him, you like what you see, he's far from a polished product, right?
Yeah. He moves so well
in all areas. I could see him dropping in coverage. Obviously the athleticism rushing the passers there. The athleticism in pursuit as almost a sideline to sideline, more off-ball linebackers there, right? Mm-hmm. Like the dude has it all, but he's not, you know, I mean, what I just described is like the TJ Watt package.
Right.
That's that kind of talent. Pass rush moves. Consistency. He's not polished in any one of these areas, but boy, he had some otherworldly testing. This is a guy, frankly, a big reason why Drew Sanders probably transferred to Arkansas, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
As a five-star, the best athlete coming out of Texas, goes to Bama, then transfers to Arkansas. How do we feel about Dallas Turner at 12?
I don't mind it at 12. I think top 10 would be a little bit rich, just mm-hmm. because I think baseline, he is a very good NFL player. I don't know if he has that same ceiling as you know, a guy like a TJ Watt, who you mentioned. I didn't see the same type of relentless motor.
No doubt.
There were kind of some stretches I felt like where he disappeared. Some of that had to do with what opposing offenses were doing, you know, mm-hmm. running away from him at times. I thought mm-hmm. he played really well, especially in the SEC championship game, was good in the playoff, but I don't know. He's a guy that's done a little bit of everything. Like, you know, he's even dropped back in coverage in times. And like, I don't think he's incompetent in those settings. I think, mm-hmm. you know, sideline to sideline, he's really rangy. I just wonder if he's, you know, like a, what is it? Dips into all the trades, but a master of none, jack of trades, master of none. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my mm-hmm. impression with him. Even Will Anderson, like you would just have these moments purely from a pass rushing perspective where there'd be like four or five snaps in a row where he just would torch a tackle. Yeah. And I don't know if
and
I
he
saw
was
that
so polished yeah. compared to Dallas.
And he had a lot more variety in terms of the pass rushing skills. So
big time.
That's the thing. He's a raw athlete though. Like he's not going to be, you draft him and all of a sudden you have a starting edge who's going to be a 10 sack guy, right?
But
right.
the best right. may, you know, what he could be maybe still is yet
exactly.
to come.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the potential. Point. That's
he's
what you're drafting.
Bradley
for.
Chubb. Bradley Chubb almost yes. breaks the rookie sack yes. record, or does, right?
I think tied it, yeah.
And kind of peaked.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of yeah. peaked that one season.
No, yeah. he's a guy who's just, he's just getting started in terms of the upswing of his football career, I think.
I'd agree completely. Yeah, maybe not my first choice, but boy, he's shown me enough.
But that would make sense, though, right? That's
12.
Kind of the range you're in at 12. It's mm-hmm. not the yeah, home run right. guarantee. Man, I can't believe exactly I'm getting right. this guy, but right. it's that range of this guy could be that top five if he reaches his ceiling.
Right.
Or he could be like, you know, around 20, which is, you know, the floor. And either as long as you get that, it'd be fine. But
yeah,
again, just for a team that really lacks depth at edge, I don't hate it. But I also don't know if he's like the guy that comes in and just, all our issues are solved.
Right. And it's also like, oh, we added another high upside toolsy edge rusher. Meet Baron Browning and Drew Sanders, you know, like, oh, yeah, they're really different from your profile. Yeah. Not. Brian Thomas Jr., we talked about him, the LSU mm-hmm. wide receiver. Would have been unfathomable to talk about him as a top 15 pick a month ago.
I think a first round pick a month ago would have been 100%. In play, but yes.
Top 15, top 12 even?
Yeah.
Now, though, it's like, well, shit.
They need speed, man.
Probably would draft him ahead of Keanu Coleman, right?
Oh, definitely.
Am I saying his
Keanu
name?
Coleman.
Keanu God Coleman. Damn
it. I know I could feel it that I'd gone back to my old ways. Why would I do that?
I like Keanu better. It's more
if you, oh, I mean, it's like a character out of the Matrix. Brian Thomas, man. Yeah, he's the wide receiver at LSU opposite Malik Nabers. He's bigger, 6'3". He mm-hmm. ran a 4.3. He showed good hands. He showed good ability to, you know, extend away from his body, be competitive at the catch point. There's some raw traits. That offense, maybe you're not the most polished route runner, whatever, but God, that's all the tools to build on are there.
The toughest part I had with LSU wide receivers is Daniels runs around so much. Sometimes it's hard to gauge, like, what was unstructured, you know, what was some of their plays was just like pure athleticism. It's like, is that going to translate? I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's also a guy that I think if they played with more structure and they took advantage and just like, hey, we're going to get a quick screen real quick. Hey, we're going to fly over the top. We're getting the ball in his hands a little bit more consistently. I don't think anybody would have been shocked by this because he just, you know, I just think Nabers had a little bit better chemistry. And so he got a little bit more consistent targets, you know, didn't necessarily, I don't know, didn't stand out the same way in some of those big games. But especially when you, Nabers is so good.
He's ridiculous.
But when you go back, I guess, and watch him and you find those stretches where he is able to get some space in the open field, you're like, oh, yeah, he runs that way in pads too. It's not just the underwear stuff.
Mm-hmm.
100%. Had a hell of a season.
I mean, he scored touchdowns at an insane rate. 17 touchdowns and 68 receptions is wild.
Yeah.
It was like a quiet 17 touchdowns.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah.
I think he led the SEC in touchdowns. Yeah.
Well, he wasn't even, like you said, he wasn't even like a first round lock a month ago at this point. So,
do you like him at 12?
Thing is, that wide receiver with all the Broncos needs, you like wait at the for the third.
Exactly. That's. In this draft, with where they're picking and the needs and the way the team is headed right now, like, wide receiver's not the pick at 12.
And what you could get at 40, you could probably get the same production for the next 2 years.
Give me Ladd McConkey. Trade up to the second round. Give me Ladd McConkey instead of spending your first on a Brian Thomas.
Right. Romo Odunze drops to you. You're saying the same thing?
Well, I mean, the three premier guys at wide receiver, I think you got to take.
As much as we love these other guys, I still think at the next level, Odunze might be the most productive guy. Just everything he does translates.
He gets my spidey senses tingling, too, because it's like, well, what can't he do?
That's what I mean.
And that Washington tape is sick. Like, as sick as Penix is, it's so hard to stay focused on one guy because it's like, whoa, what did the left tackle just do? What did Odunze just do? What did Jalen Pollard
do? They were dope, man.
Like,
they were
dope.
They're
so good.
Nabers is my guy, though. He reminds me of AJ Brown.
Nabers is
I like that comp.
Yeah.
In a 5'11 pot. I mean,
right, but like
knowing
in terms
full
of
well, like this
just like
is
what
a guy,
he looks like out there though.
Well, yeah, like the run after the catch, the route running, just the speed, like he's got the complete package from that standpoint.
100%. What about my guy Byron Murphy? The top interior pass rushing defensive tackle, number 90 for Texas. He comes out blazing speed on the 40, really good RAS in all. We talk about it all the time. Fewer and fewer of these guys come through in the draft, which makes them more and more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
I am seeing mocks having Murphy mocked as high as 13th. Do we go one notch higher at 12th?
I'd be fine with it.
Is he the run stopper that this defensive front needs?
I think so.
He could be, definitely.
I mean, when you watch Texas at their peak this year, what they did in the trenches was insane. And especially, I mean, the game against Alabama obviously is the one that stands out the most. But I mean,
great call out.
Mm-hmm. You try to watch them run. You try and watch Bama run the ball against them. Yeah. It did not happen.
Honestly, that Washington O-line didn't look all that great against that D-line either.
No, they're. I mean, those dudes are brick shit houses. You aren't moving.
They were monsters, bro.
I love the term brick shit houses so much.
I mean, him went sweat, man. I think they've had a great offseason or draft season in terms of improving their stock, and I think that both can do what they did in college at the NFL level. I'd absolutely take Byron Murphy at 12.
Like you said, it's just so rare. You don't find a guy at that size that moves like this.
No, I know. And
to me, like the value of that position, I know it's not the sexiest pick, but again, like those are the moves that actually bring you closer to being consistently competitive. Fix that interior D-line. I mean, God damn, they couldn't stop anybody from running the ball last year.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or create interior pressure.
Yeah.
Like, guess what? These tools, these young edge rushers, they're not going to get anywhere unless you have someone who's able to get some penetration up the middle and funnel the quarterbacks out the pocket towards them.
When all of a sudden your edges look a hell of a lot better, too. Like the Nick Benitos of the world.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Got a few more names I want to get into. Got a few more names that maybe now we're more skeptical to select for the Broncos based on the combine. Always within this category, though, Nate Wiggins runs a 4.29.
Mm-hmm.
Slender, but has the height, over 6 foot.
Yep.
Corner from Clemson. Clemson's fallen off, but the defenses have still been very good. And Wiggins, there's some stuff that'll make you not want to pound the table for him as a prospect. But then that flexibility, that speed, that cover ability, that potential to be a one-on-one cover guy when we're pumping out 20 freak wide receivers into the league every single offseason, well, there's a premium to that guy.
I mean, he's going to be able to run with anybody.
And I mean, when you run that fast, 12th is not out of reach, right?
Yeah, I will say I don't sense the same physicality from him that you see from, dude, you know, 100%. A Terrion Arnold, a Quinyon Mitchell. 100%. Especially opposite of PS2. We've made this point so many times. You're going to get thrown at a lot. And I kind of want a guy that has a little bit of dog in him that's not afraid to get torched, you know, once every 8 weeks, but he's going to get a ton of plays in between. I don't hate it, but there are guys I like better, including either of the Bama corners. You know, I've obviously been really high on Quinyon Mitchell back now for going back to the season, but I don't know. I don't know if I love him at 12. What about you? Feels a little rich. That's all.
No, this is way too high.
No, this don't let the 40 change your evaluation here. Yeah.
That's why we did this.
Ooh, I was a little nervous about that one. I'm being honest. No. I was like, I know he runs well, but.
No, look, man. I mean, that's his like calling card. He's a long guy, but he's kind of thin.
Yeah.
I think he's got nice hips, but it's like.
I liked Emmanuel Forbes last year better, and Forbes in his first year had some struggles.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Skinnier.
Right. But he was way longer, though, Forbes was.
Longer, and I liked his ball skills and instincts way more.
Yes.
So his. Frankly, it's competitiveness.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what I was trying to say.
What Justin said, the dog.
There's more compete. Yep. There's more compete. So that's a huge part. Quinyon Mitchell, Troy Fatanu. I think we've covered those. I think we're in on them at 12, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing's really changed there.
Mm-hmm. That's that.
If we were in before the combine, bet your ass we're in.
Yeah, I got to stick to it at this point. I hope my take comes true. But I really think Mitchell might be corner one.
Is it possible to just be a riser the entire process? Because that's all he's done.
No kidding, right?
Like, he was like, all right, top 50 guy. Like, look out for this guy. Uh-huh. He could be a day two gem. And then it's like, all right, he's sneaking into the first round. Like, now he's sneaking into the top 15. Like,
really?
Is this guy going to be a top 10 pick when it's all said and done?
But that's why it's fun for people like us that actually do this and you watch him. Because you can, you know, everybody has their own opinions. You can read a million mocks. You can listen to everything that Kuiper and McShay, and I consume it too, just like all you. All these guys are great.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just got to trust your eyes. And when you watch him, I know it's Toledo. I know it's the Mac, but man, he just moves better than anybody I see, and he never turns it off. And the production's insane.
So. He's big, he's fast, he's got ball production. Like, it checks all the boxes. It's
one, frankly, He stands out above the rest the way other great G5 prospects have in the past, the way Trey McBride stood out above the rest in the Mount West, the way William Jackson, a guy I've compared to...
even like a Vander Esch out of Boise.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. He might pop more than Vander Esch. You know, Vander Esch was more selective, but I like that call out as well. On the other hand, Terrion Arnold might be one of those guys who now we're a smidge more skeptical of selecting at 12 after the combine. The phenom cornerback out of Alabama, a guy I've been high on all season, went viral for getting shooken up on the sideline by Nick Saban and then having a very insightful response to why he took that all in, didn't take offense, just was trying to take the teaching. He went as high as 8th overall on Daniel Jeremiah's big board before the combine. Bless you, Alyssa. But runs a 4.5 flat, which, hey, we should all be so lucky.
Right, exactly.
It's not a 4.33, though. It's not a 4.2 that Wiggins is running or Mitchell with the 4.3. Mm-hmm. Any more skepticism on Arnold?
Play speed is the most important thing. And he was able to make it work at Alabama. I don't really care what the stopwatch says. I'm kind of out on the NFL combine, by the way. I know I kind of talked to you about this earlier, but it's...
I think it gets overvalued for certain hot takes.
No, it absolutely does.
So people, to me, it just, this validates, like, for, and it, maybe this was a hot take by me, but to me, the, like, no, watch the games. Terrion Arnold is a stud. Now, to me, this might be the difference between, like, oh, if it was Mitchell or Arnold. Okay, maybe Mitchell's won because he ran a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, 12 games, dude didn't have a bad game all season.
I mean, the combine's overrated when we overrate one single data point in a thing that's giving us tens of data points.
Exactly, and it's people just don't use it as a tool as often as they do, and they use it as a, I mean, almost more important, has a set of 10 games at times. Yeah,
right.
Well, and if he runs a 4.4 at his pro day, is he a top 10 pick again?
That's like, what I'm saying. Like, right.
Well, and we see, the NFL does this.
Yeah.
Trayvon Walker goes first overall, ahead of guys like Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Purely based on combine tests.
Yeah.
John Ross went top 10 for running the fastest 40 of all time.
There's going to be a lot of Xavier Worthy comps with that.
I lost my fucking mind that draft. I was like, look, John Ross is fun. He's a fun eval, but he's no better than like a late first.
Right.
You're crazy to draft him high first.
Yeah. Darius Hayward Bay, like all these guys. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you got to be very weary of that 40 number.
Well, I think it's easier to happen now, too, when you have less of the Caleb Williams and Drake Mays participating, and we're focusing more and more on just like the freaky the athletes.
Yeah, you're kind of looking for it at that.
You're looking for that, you know, like, oh my God, like this is the guy.
Right.
And that stuff matters. We talk about all the time, the margins because of your potential. Yeah. But at some point also, like, are you a good football player? Regardless of what you do in your underwear, correct, regardless of how fast you run, how high you jump, when, you know, it's not a setting where you're going 11 on 11. Are you a good football player?
Yeah.
Terrion Arnold is a really fucking good football player.
Well, yep. And this is where I talk about the NFL draft is so silly compared to the other drafts. We make it out to be, oh, such an inexact science, blah, blah, blah. Sure. Totally. NFL free agency is an inexact science, right? Like, sometimes guys perform really
Joe
good
Flacco.
Right, on a rookie contract, and then they kind of stink when they get that big money. Like, inexact science, no doubt. But go tell hockey scouts scouting 16 and 17 year olds in minor junior leagues in Canada living away from home for the first time ever.
Yeah.
And that junior league might be 12th best hockey league in the world. You know, you evaluate someone in the SEC like Terrion Arnold, that's a pro player getting coached up from one of the best coaches in all of football in the second best league in the entire world in that sport.
Yeah, going up against Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, right, who we just talked about.
Right, and he's not 16 and 17. He's 21 and 22 competing against the other 21.
Yes.
Like, the projection, it's not that much of a long shot, you know, to where a decimal of a second should, or a tenth of a second,
yeah,
should be making this kind of difference. And the other thing, margins all the time. What does it mean? Well, it means that if my arms are 32 inches and your arms are 33 inches, that decimal of a second might be made up by your simple arm length, right?
Right.
Like it's literally margins. It's why we bring it up so much.
Well, here's the last thing I'll say about the whole, sorry to derail this, by the way, but the combine, the most important aspect of the combine is the interviews. It's all the stuff we do not hear about that no one else hears about.
It's our blind sides as scouts, frankly.
Exactly. And it's the most important part of this whole process for the teams that go to the combine is to talk to these guys.
Find out if they went to their teammates' birthday parties or not.
But at the same time, they do ask some stupid questions, but it's like,
no,
that's the most valuable part of the entire process or of the entire combine, at least to this point in the process.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Character matters most.
Mm-hmm.
And one great point I heard, the greatest corollary between future NFL success is success at the college level.
Yeah.
Wow.
Shocker.
Wow. Yeah.
What a concept.
You know what's funny? I came across a Josh Allen Wyoming video yesterday.
Is it the one where he's running around, goes back?
Yeah, he toes the sideline and stuff. And it's people going like, you know, this will never work in the NFL. It's like, this is exactly what he does in the NFL.
Pretty much, yeah. He reined it in a little bit. He's grown a lot.
No, but like, but still, it's like, this is still the wild football player that you don't know what's going to happen on a down-to-down basis.
That's right. And his supernatural upside, his margins allow him to do that, don't they?
Yes.
Couple more I want to get here. And then some guys who might not be necessarily in that round one mix for the Broncos, but how have our feelings maybe changed on them post-combine? So we talked about Terrion Arnold. Give me Keon Coleman. 12 too high. Is the first round too high?
I think so. Here's the thing, and these are the guys I'm kind of weary of, are these contested catch, you know, beasts in college football, because, again, the margins are much slimmer. You're going against much better competition.
Yeah.
You're just not going to win as many jump balls as you were. Like, those 70-30 balls truly do turn into 50-50 balls at that point. You know what I mean?
Correct.
So I think that he's still worth taking a gamble on day two.
He's a top 50 player for
sure. Yes, definitely. But that's why he's not going to make it into that first-round conversation and why the combine kind of validated. Even with that 40, it was just like, all right, yeah, he doesn't have the long speed.
You didn't create a ton of separation as is in college. Now you're going against even better DBs, as you said. You know, you kind of made a living just being able to moss everybody over the top, and the likelihood of being able to do that at the next level just feels unlikely. I still think he's going to be a good, productive NFL receiver, but he's not going to be the guy we saw, you know, having a 3-touchdown game against LSU or whatever it was.
I mean, he's got one of the lowest ceilings, I think, of this like top tier receiver group. I don't know, top 8-ish, I guess you would say.
It's a good point.
At this point.
It's a good point.
But all, at the same time, like, he's huge and he's physical. Like, plays he could big. Be a red zone weapon for someone.
Oh, yeah.
He just may not be a 15 touchdown guy in the NFL.
Do you like
it's a good point.
Him better at like 35 or Ladd McConkey at 55?
Oh, I'm taking Ladd over Keon Coleman for sure. I love
Would
Ladd
you take
McConkey,
Ladd
by the way.
At 35 over Keon Coleman?
Yes. I'd take Ladd.
Do Malik Corley and I'll take Malachi Corley and I'll take the Yak God every time.
Same. Corley's fun.
I will cry on the draft stream if they draft Corley. Yeah. Like, I love that kid so much. Right. He also tested really well. I've got Amarius Mims in here.
Uh-huh.
Right tackle from Georgia.
Yeah.
Super talent. When he does test at the combine, confirms even that. I mean, this kid's barely been able to play, like, I think 8 career games. Looks so special. He feels like a top 20 pick with that limited experience. Justin, he can't even make it through the workouts in Indy without being healthy. How skeptical are you?
Extremely.
Yeah.
It's just a huge gamble. Obviously, I mean,
he's the prototypical Sean Payton right tackle.
Yes,
by the way.
And I think it, you know, it, how much risk are you comfortable with in this position? And it'll probably come down to how far he falls, you know? it feels so much to me, and maybe it's not a perfect comp, but just, you know, we're Denver guys, the Nuggets, Michael Porter Jr. There's a world in which he can stay healthy, and that entire pick, it seems like a massive failure, but he has so far, knock on wood. And, you know, so it's this great value pick that you're able to get. And you see the ceiling of a guy like him. And it's, you know, it's very easy to talk yourself into, maybe the guy just needs to change his diet, get with a, you know, change his stretching routine a little bit. You know, you get him in the weight room and it's as simple as that. And all of a sudden he has 10 straight years of, you don't know.
Yeah.
But you are assuming a ton of risk. And given, you know, you don't exactly have the luxury of, you know, if he doesn't work out, being like, well, worst case, he's the backup tackle. It's either this guy works out or we're screwed.
That's right.
I would be very hesitant to take him in the first round.
This 12's is too rich. 12
I think
is
so.
Way too rich.
But I think you said it. This is like the typical Sean Payton guy. Like what he did with Trevor Penning when he took Taron Armstead, right? Like he loves size.
Andres Pete was mad.
I could certainly see them trade back, like add a day two or day three pick, take him at like, you know, 25 or whatever he is. In.
Yeah, 25, you love him because it's like, well, this guy was healthy and played 12 games. You might have took him at 12.
Right.
It's also right. As of now, right tackle only scares me.
Especially when there's, like Bulls, we said, there's so many casualty left tackles coming out that we like now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, okay, a little more rapid fire. Broncos targets who are rising or falling that you may be in or out on. Braden Fisk, former Western Michigan, had a spectacular season at Florida State. He out-tests Byron Murphy, and the tape is similar.
I'm in.
I'm in, too.
Yep.
How early is too early for Fisk?
I mean, he's not a top 10 player, but I don't think him going top 15 is insane. I don't think it's likely, but I don't think it's insane.
Oh gosh, I think you're kind of right.
I think he's
top
like
25. I think is plausible.
Yeah, I think he'll go like, you know, around 18 to 25 ish. So if he went a little higher than that, not shocking. If he fell slightly, not shocking. Again, great football player. Go watch him.
Yeah, no, really terrific. Drake Nugent, the center from Colorado, Michigan guy, one of the few O-linemen that kind of underwhelmed in testing. Do we care, Jake?
I don't think so.
I don't think we do.
This guy stood out to me on bad Stanford teams occasionally. Like, even before he got to Michigan, he was a guy that I kind of circled, so no.
Let the value fall to you and take a great player later than you would have been able to get him pre-combine. Trey Benson, one of my guys, one of my favorite running backs in this class out of Florida State. Scat back, receiving back. He runs a 4.3. Wow, huh? We're in on him. Spoiler, we don't even need to have a conversation.
We need speed.
With Sean Payton? Yeah, give me a scat speed back like that.
Talk Mo Kamara, Dallin Holker for me. The top prospects here locally out of Colorado State.
Mo tested really well, ran a 4.58, I think, unofficially, which for him is great. It's what he needed to do. He's got great motor. His relative athletic score was great.
Off the charts.
Dallin had a nice showing in terms of he had like the highlight because he made the one-handed catch.
Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
He thought it
running
was over.
The gauntlet?
The gauntlet is running with one ball already in his hand.
Oh, wait,
thinking
I did see
it was
this,
over
yes.
and then reached out to catch one-handed.
Yeah.
Sick highlight.
It's a nice little moment. He didn't test very well.
But his agility testing, very good.
It's better than I thought it would be. I wish he would have ran a little better.
It's the jump and the 40, the explosiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So the straight line speed, the explosiveness where he fell short. But agility, ability to wiggle open and stuff is there, you know?
He's a guy, I mean, it's another one of those guys, you watch him in game, he just always is open. He always would find space. He would come back to the quarterback when he's trying to turn around. I think he's going to be a nice value pick for somebody late.
You mentioned him, Jordan Morgan, the left tackle from Arizona, a little down on him coming off the Senior Bowl. Length wasn't ideal. One-on-ones were a bit mixed bag. Tested really well, though.
Just the tape is just, he's dominant.
Yeah, it's awesome.
The arm length is something that I don't know. Like, what do you think? You tell me about that.
I am starting to want. I am having conversations with myself.
Full circle, guys. We're gonna do it. We're gonna do it. Like a month ago, I was like, I don't care that his arms aren't long enough. I just the dude kicks everybody's ass.
Does arm length matter anymore?
But that's the thing is, I always thought it did.
Well, margins.
It does.
It does.
But he margins. Might. He might be the exception.
Everything matters.
Can he play guard?
It just matters relatively.
Yes, I think without a doubt.
Do you think he can play guard? Do you think he's too big?
He's a really mobile, like, left guard. Yeah.
Okay.
So if nothing else. Like,
he's not my grinder right guard that I'm running right. 20 times behind. Right. He isn't.
I'm in then. I'm still in.
He might be zone scheme only, too.
That'd be
so
fine,
like,
though.
We're about him as a prospect, maybe not as a Bronco, though.
Yeah, but just get him in the right fit.
Yeah.
You know.
Good distinction, though.
Yeah, yeah. Anyone else on this list you guys wanted to get into?
I mentioned Leatu Latu. That's my guy.
Tested well.
He's the most complete. He tested, like, he checks all these boxes, man. Again,
he's a dog. He's got the motor.
Yeah.
I know that it's the injury concerns.
But we're not hearing a ton of buzz about that.
No, and it's not like he's not going to be a top 10 guy. Like,
we're chill.
Oh, my. If we can get into Penix, then, I mean, just watching him spin it out there, bro, no one, there's not anyone besides really Caleb, maybe JJ, in terms of pure arm talent.
You love Penix.
You can't teach what he does, man. Like, that is just an intangible thing.
Dude can rip it.
He looked good. He looked really good.
Also, yeah, my guy Blake Corum kind of showed out a bit, too.
Hey, now. Marshawn Lloyd, too, the USC running back.
Mm-hmm.
Could be some good backs. Oh, my gosh. So much to get into. Thank you to producer Alyssa for making all this work. Boys, it's position preview time.
Let's get into it.
No
Let's
ifs, get into ands, it. Or buts about it.
I'm ready.
We see what we're going to get into. We start next week, and then we don't stop ever. This was amazing. Thank you to the chat. We'll get into more of your questions. I love this comment from Chris about the combine is great for suckers like Al Davis. I'll stop myself there. Leave us a thumbs up. We really love doing these in the off season, so we really appreciate all the support. Keep tuning in, and we'll be back next week.
See ya.
Y'all silly like the mayor.